Let's see here. Question number three. What helps you decide that you are the one who needs to intervene in the trajectory of another person's life? What are the distinguishing factors between an intervention and being a busybody? That's a great question.
What depends on your motivation?
Yeah, intent is always, it's your intention.
Okay. I think Trudy's earlier comment explains that a little bit. If it comes from love and compassion, it will generally be okay. And if it comes from, either some sort of jealousy or even some sort of judgment, especially, then it's going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, I read I was listening to an author. I can't say her last name. It's Maya or M-A-I-A. I'll put it in the chat. Salavovic. Anyways, she talks about how if punishment worked in mental health or addiction, then we wouldn't have this problem. And look into her. She's very fascinating to me because she actually is an adult with autism. And as a child, she had autism undiagnosed. I worked with kids with autism, and not being able to relate to people brought her into using drugs and alcohol. And she actually was able to get clean and sober, go to college, get an education, and now she's writing on the topic, and it's very fascinating. But yeah, no punishment, not punishment, not trying to get your intent. You know what? I want you to get help. I want this for you. It's compassion, not punishment, and taking people for where they're at. I also want to say that where you decide for me, if I'm going to get involved or not, I quite often rely on it. I think God put us in places at certain times that, and he's telling us. He wants us, and we just have to listen. Like, for instance, I was at a convenience store the other day, and I saw this woman just look scared to death, and she was standing there, and I thought somebody was after her because she looked like she was running from somebody. And I did feel like, I mean, I had that second thought of like, I'm gonna get out of here because I don't want to get involved in this. But then I thought, God put me here, and I had a conversation with her and gave her a number. But yeah, I put the pieces and allowed them.
I like that.
Great. Thanks, Trudy. And you're on the front line. Thank you for what you do. I know you're right on the front line with a lot of students, and not just your family, but you got a lot. You're right on the front line. So
we have had such an increase. I can't even tell you, like, mental health crisis is on Zoom, you know. And help.
One point of maybe encouragement. I don't know how to answer this question, this one that's posed here. But I'm wondering if all of us on the circles we drew about who the people were connecting with, if we have one person on there that you wouldn't categorize as a yes man or a yes woman, but as someone who would, confront you if you were off. So in other words, if our circles are only people that really are there to, you know, agree with whatever we're doing,
oh my God,
that would be a problem. And I want to bring a Bible passage to you that relates that thought. It's 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. This is a story about King Rehoboam. He is the son of Solomon. And the story is about how Solomon, like this old king, was about him. The Queen of Sheba, Queen of South, comes, and he's got all these wives, and he has all these advisors. But the next generation comes, which is King Rehoboam. And what King Rehoboam does is he only surrounds himself with young advisors. And he tries to get rid of the older advisors who are around his father, Solomon. This is detailed in 1 Kings 12, 6 through 11. And what Rehoboam does is he basically just puts around himself people that would agree with him, basically.
Ooh.
I want to read this passage here. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the older men who had attended his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" They answered him, "If you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good news to them when you answer them," then gave him and consulted with the young men who had grown up with him and now attended him. And he said to them, "What do you advise that your father has put on us?" The young men said to him, "Thus you should say, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" So we have an interesting story here where the next king, Rehoboam, kind of went with advisors. He didn't want his father's advisors.
So he went with the young hotshots.
So he went with the young hotshots. There you go, Joe. You got it. So here's the thought. Rehoboam was Solomon's son and inherited the kingdom. So that when his subjects asked for some relief from the burdens the crown put on them, Rehoboam didn't like the advice that his father's advisors and sought instead some yes men among his cohort. Here's a question. Rehoboam received good advice from his older advisors. What do you think led them to seek advice in what you really wanted to do? That's really good. That's a really good thought there. What do we think about that?
I think it's a childish thing to do. My kids used to do it to me all the time. To keep seeking the answer and like ask again. I mean, yeah, I think it's a childish thing to do. I mean, if you're not listening, yeah, what's it about?
I think it's human nature.
Okay. We do it, don't we? Yeah.
I think it's natural.
It's
undisciplined.
I don't know. Have you, any of you read the book Team of Rivals? I'm curious if anyone read that book, Doris Kearns. It's about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, when he was putting together his cabinet, it's an interesting story. Yeah, Team of Rivals. And I think the author was Doris Kearns. I can't remember her last name. But on his team, cabinet, he put on a whole bunch of people who disagreed with and analyzed how best to lead the country. He did the opposite of Rehoboam. Anyway, any other thoughts on that? I'm just curious.
Good, but it's tough.
Say it again. It's tough.
It's tough to go against the good. But it's good to be challenged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that we also have the where we look for information. I mean, I watched that movie Social Dilemma recently, and there's so much that's coming at us that is, you know, some of it's true, some of it's not. So I just think that where we go to look for our information, I like that the fact that you bring in a different opinion, like that guy, because we only surround ourselves with what we want to hear. And that.
Amen. Yep.
Yeah, I've heard a quote, I'll just paraphrase it because I just thought of it now. It's that if two people agree on something, one of them's not thinking.
I like
to go back and research that because it makes a lot of sense. I like this idea of something rather than everybody agree with you. You don't learn anything that way either. And you may bring change or you may improve your thoughts on what particular problem that you're dealing with the present.
Well, we've been on for an hour. That's a long time to Zoom. And it's been a great conversation. Thank you to everyone for tuning in here today. We'll do this again next week. Jan, do you want to say something?
A note about Jewel, the musician, she's a singer. She was in Billings, Montana a year or so ago, and my niece accompanied her when she sang in front of thousands of people. Apparently Carolyn said she's just a tiny person. Carolyn is 6 feet tall. And Jewel came up to her and hugged her very hard and said, "I am so scared." And Carolyn was floored because she wasn't real excited to be out in front of 1,000 people too. But she said Jewel was just this tiny, lovely, lovely lady. And I think just knowing that much about her, to have her write a letter to Shay, was, it just all tied in my head as very impressive.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Jan. And that really ties up our lesson today. Wouldn't it be great if we all had a friend like Jewel?
Yes.
That could kind of break our not so good patterns and just speak into them. There's a proverb that just popped into my mind. This is, I can't tell you, I think it's Proverbs 17, but it says this, and I hold it to my heart. It says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." That sounds like a really strange thing, but when someone loves us, when we have a friend that loves us, a wound from them can be actually be a faithful move, because they tell us, they challenge us, and they move us to where we need to be. Good discussion today. And then lastly, just boy, this see that are happy,
maybe they're not,
and maybe we need to, instead of just waiting for the tragedy to happen, maybe we need to just reach out to those people that, like, okay, say, "Hey, you doing okay?" Not in a judgmental way, but just a check-in kind of way too. All right. Thank you to everyone. And I'd also share with this group too. So we'll have a Bible study next week. And then probably the week of Christmas, we're going to just do like a Zoom Tuesday night check-in celebration together. I was actually thinking, with the elders' approval, well, I don't know, I need to talk to the elders about this, but something like a happy hour with the pastor. And we have dessert together. Maybe we won't try to find out what you're drinking, but anyway, just a time to check in before Christmas comes.
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Pastor. You very good.
Thank you. Sorry we were late.
Bless you. Oh, good.